Are we on record?
We're on record.
Okay. Folks, this is Kathy Orman. She's another member of our A-team. I start up again in 10 minutes with a three-page calendar, so I think we're trying to spell poor Heather. I'm going to excuse you for the day. I'm going to discuss your questions with the attorneys after you folks take off. It's going to take longer than 10 minutes, I think. So we can cover that in the morning. Don't discuss the case among yourselves. Don't let anybody discuss it with you. Don't form or express an opinion until you've heard all the evidence, the arguments of counsel, and my instructions. We'll see you at 8:30. I meant to look at what one of those guys was wearing, but I think I know. During our jury view, I told the jury in response to a couple of kind of curious looks that the junk in the car might have been moved since the car had been moved several times, and that some of the things that were in the car were no longer in the car, for example, the tire iron and the gun case. Mr. Schwager wanted to know if the right rear tire was original. I told him, which is accurate, I don't know, but I would bring that up. I think that's the one that was allegedly shot out.
Well, that was flat anyhow.
Or flat, I don't know, but they had that question, which remains unanswered. Spring Batten wanted to know, she came up and asked if we were going to be told, I think were her words, that the rear window was childproof. And I said something to the effect, well, that depends on what evidence the attorneys put on. And she said, well, I had this model of car, and I know it is childproof. So I said, I'd let you know. I don't know what childproof means.
Did she say the rear window or the
rear? The rear window, the one that's been smashed out, the long window in the back.
Okay. That means those windows only go down halfway. They're
She's talking about the
No, she's talking about that back window.
The rear window?
That's what I can't imagine what the childproof means.
Well, now, see, I didn't want to ask a lot of questions.
No, you're right. You're right.
She might have been talking about one of those rear windows that only goes down halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I know my car has a button on it you can push, they won't go down at all.
And also lock them, yeah.
I'm not sure where that button is. I keep doing that and not being able to undo it, but maybe that's what she was talking about. The guy in the striped shirt, who I think was Mr. Babbers, but I'm not sure. I'll recognize him tomorrow. That's why I was going to pick him out.
The beard?
No, he doesn't have a beard.
Over here?
Yeah.
Second row.
FAA guy?
From the flight controller?
Well, not Graham, not the outside one. I was thinking the one more over.
That's Mr. Babbers.
Ask if he could have a flashlight to look at the top part of the rear window where that indentation is.
Mm-hmm.
I let him have one. As far as I know, he's the only one that looked there.
That's fine.
Someone else asked if they could remove one of those white dots. And I removed it for him. I didn't really remove it. I just took my penknife and lifted it up and put it right next to it. It was on Mark I, which is that, I think it's a backup light section.
Right. That's correct.
And then someone and a couple others kind of joined in this. They wanted to know, there are numbers written on the car in black marker, and I looked at numbers 9, 2, 4, 5, and 6, which are basically along the back, and 6 was up the side of the car. I told them I didn't have the foggiest, but I'd let the attorneys know that they'd ask, and perhaps there'd be additional testing.
I believe those are the stains.
Yeah.
The stain numbers.
Well, okay. I thought so, too, but I didn't think it.
What were the numbers? 9, 2?
The ones I wrote down were 9, 2, 4, 5, and 6, but they may not be inclusive.
Okay.
Those are just the ones I could see. I didn't ask them specifically. They're all generically the same thing.
Right. That's what those are.
And I'm pretty sure they were the blood stains, but I didn't feel appropriate for me to tell them that. So that's what I know about our jury view.
Well, that's an impressive job, Judge. I'll tell you. Here's where we are in our case.
Okay.
We have a large number of relatively short to medium witnesses that we'd like to call tomorrow. We don't want to break up Mr. Knudsen's testimony either on direct or on cross. We will finish Monday. So our proposal would be if we may be three and a half hours tomorrow and then be done. What we are suggesting is that on the matter that you have in camera, that we have a hearing on that, schedule that for like noon tomorrow.
Let me write that down. That's just a matter of forgetting. I've got a lot going on besides this trial right now.
Well, that's why I'm saying we can schedule this into trial time tomorrow at noon.
Okay.
We'll be done by noon. And if we're done early, the jury then can just go home. We can do that hearing. And then Monday, we will. And among the reasons that I want to put Mr. Knudsen on Monday is, frankly, I haven't even had time to think about it, but there's going to be a large amount of physical evidence that has not been produced yet that we're going to use in his direct examination. So I have to figure all of that out, what I want, and then put it into a form that I can communicate it and make those arrangements.
So short day tomorrow, defense finishes on Monday.
Right.
State, if it has a rebuttal case, puts it on Monday. We argue on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
Current plan. What have we thought about length of argument?
Hour and a half.
I can do mine in an hour and a half.
Yeah, I don't like to restrict argument that's in cases like this. An hour and a half is appropriate. You both know what the attention span of a jury is. Okay.
What about getting together on instructions? Do you want to try and do that over the weekend?
Let me think about that and let you know tomorrow.
Okay.
There's a lot going on both in my personal life and in my judicial life. I got to make some phone calls this afternoon about problems in California. One of our judicial officers wasn't here today. The one who fishes is leaving again tomorrow to fish. So let me just, I'll let you know tomorrow. So
this would be circle the wagon.
Circle the wagon. Judge Brown he'd rather fish than eat. And this time of year, Lake Iliamna opens up. He went out there last weekend, and you all know his size, his age, his girth, and maybe his physical condition. The river was iced up, so he walked 2 miles through swamps with his 20-something-year-old daughter and a guide and couldn't sit or stand or even eat Sunday night when he returned to Anchorage. But he did catch what he calls a book rainbow, which makes it all worth it. And as long as I've known him, which is 25-plus years,